the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes here on 720 WGN. It's a wet Michigan Avenue outside, Judy. The precipitation is coming down. People have their umbrellas. It'll still be a white Christmas, I think, if there's enough on the ground at your house. But it's going to rain a little bit this weekend before we hit more snow and sleet. We'll hear more from Tom Skilling about that after the 6:30 news. At 5:30, Nikki Allen, a bartender at Knife and Tine, which is a wonderful restaurant here in Chicago. You hear Nikki on Patty Vasquez's show all the time. She's going to come in and make some holiday drinks for us and tell you guys some cool stuff that you can do for your guests over the holidays when it comes to libations. Joining us in the studio right now is Dr. Natalie Mark. She's a veterinarian at Blum Animal Hospital at Clark and Belmont up in the Wrigleyville area. Hey, Dr. Marks, how are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming in. The holidays are a dangerous time of year. It can be, at least for our pets.
They absolutely can be. I mean, we want to embrace this coming weekend for Christmas and Hanukkah, but we also want to make sure that everybody's safe, mostly from me. It's taking care of our dogs and cats. So we want to talk about a few of the things to kind of pay a little bit more close attention to from your dog and cat's eyes.
You know, there's a lot of things around your house that are different this time of year, but also what's different is that there's a lot of people coming in and out of your house. This is a big time of year to lose pets as well, isn't it?
It is, which is why we always recommend microchipping and also making sure that people are aware that you have pets, because your house guests may not be as pet friendly, so to speak, as you are. And lots of cats are going to be darting out when that door opens. Yeah. And so are dogs, of course. But also, people may not be aware of what they're bringing into your house that may not be pet safe. So it's important to, we're going to go through a few of these things and just make sure that they're on your list of things to be checking.
Let's jump back to the microchipping for just one second. A lot of people, would say, oh, yeah, my dog's microchipped. But if that microchip was already in your dog, or if you've changed phone numbers, things like that, you have to make sure that that's updated with who. Is that, you talk to your veterinarian about that?
Yeah, the first thing is you can have your dog or cat scanned anytime at your veterinary office or at a shelter. Animal Care and Control can do it. And make sure that that chip is registered to your current address. And all of the different companies have different ways of changing that, but most of them you can do online now.
Okay, let's talk about some of the things in your house. Of course, you have a tree in your house, maybe, if you're celebrating Christmas.
Some do, yes.
And happy Hanukkah to you,
Yes,
Dr.
I was
Marks.
So thankful you have two menorahs in here.
Yes,
so nice.
Especially for you. Joey brought them in just before the segment. We'll take them right back out when you're like, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
of
thanks.
Course. I'm kidding, of course. Well, Hanukkah doesn't start till tomorrow, right?
Right.
When I
right.
walked in, all of the lights were lit. And Joey and I figured that out and said, no, that's wrong.
Thank you.
That.
This is awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so if you have a tree in your house,
right,
especially a real tree, people put all sorts of water and concoctions into that, right, can be dangerous for our pets, right?
Right, exactly. So we want to be protective of all of the things that are underneath the tree. So the water, the pine needles that might be flying down, the tinsel is just huge for cats, because cats love to play with string and other types of, we call, linear things. So that tinsel is a huge hazard for cats, especially kittens that are going and ingesting that. We do, unfortunately, lots of gastrointestinal surgery on cats that ingest that and it gets stuck. So that's really important.
I imagine that's also an attraction to jump up on the tree because of the way it glitters and shines.
Exactly,
in the light.
And knock it down. So you want to make sure it's secured. And all of the electrical cords that are there are huge, enticing things for puppies, especially.
So what do you? So you know, I put an insane amount of lights on our tree. I really do. I wrap around the trunk all the way around once, and then I go on the outer layers, and it's a complete fire hazard in our house. But so if we had a dog or a cat, would your advice be just don't do that? Or how do you try to monitor that, or just make sure the lights are only on when you're around so that if somebody gets into something, you can get to it?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly those protective shields for cords that you can put on. I mean, the ideal thing would be not to have lights if you have a young puppy or kitten, because it's really hard to be around them 100% of the time. It's really not considered puppy proofing.
Yeah.
And to use, like, I don't have a tree, but like popcorn on a string or fake things, or just to utilize them only when you're having a party and have your puppy or kitten in a separate room or in a crate or somewhere where they're secure. But you know, ultimately, it's doing the best that you can to protect them.
Maybe baby gating around them if you have the gates available, things like that.
You could, but they jump over those too. So. You don't have a puppy at home right now, do you, man?
Clearly not. Clearly not. We do not. All right, let's talk. So we talked about water and tinsel, other live things like that, holly and wreaths and any other things you have low.
Well, the kind of the Big urban myth around this time of year is poinsettias are so toxic, but they can cause a little bit of GI upset, but there's a lot of other things that are much worse. Holly is a big one. It can cause a lot of gastrointestinal upset, but also heart issues. Mm. Mistletoe is a big one. And then certainly for cats at all times of the year, lilies, we really discourage from getting fresh ones because they can put a cat into kidney failure with just a few bites.
So. Well, if your cats or dogs are getting to the mistletoe, you're doing it wrong, right?
I would think, I mean,
mistletoe is supposed to hang from the
right,
ceiling.
Right, but if it falls or you haven't
true.
Put it
or
up.
Or you got a cat that could really get up high and just exactly. launch himself right. across the room, then right. you've got that going on. Okay.
Right, exactly.
So a lot to be careful with here with the pets of the holidays.
Yeah, and then the meals too. So people are getting, you know, gifts of chocolate. That's always a big problem this time of year. Grapes and raisins, keeping alcohol on, you know, low counters and tables, which we unfortunately do see some toxicities. And then a newer toxin right now is the sugar-free treats that people are making with xylitol,
yeah.
which is an artificial sweetener. And now, unfortunately, in dogs, it can cause liver failure. So we, you know, really discourage having anything out in a, you know, kind of on display. If you have, again, also either large dogs or young dogs that are maybe not under their best behavior yeah. this time of year. That's also big with sugar-free gum. That it's a big sweetener in those too.
We'll have more tips for keeping your pets safe for the holidays. If you're thinking about getting a pet for the holidays, or if you have a question about your pets at home right now, Dr. Natalie Marks is here from Blum Animal Hospital. You hear her regularly on our friend Steve Dale's show on the weekends here at 6:30 on Sunday mornings. Right now, let's get a check of traffic sponsored by ComEd. Here's Violetta. Matt Bubala in for Rokan here on 720 WGN. Rick Pearson getting wet outside. Dr. Natalie Marks here in the Dry Showcase studio. Appreciative of the menorahs that we have.
Two.
Thanks to Ram, apparently. Ram
yes.
gets mad when there's not menorahs
awesome.
In here. So
yeah.
he hooked it up.
Yes.
Okay. So we were talking about some of the dangers that pets face this time of year with the holidays. And you were getting into the food. Xylitol, a big sugar substitute
right.
we found is very dangerous for dogs.
Right.
Is it more dangerous than like chocolate? What's the level of?
Well, it's all by the amount.
Okay.
And with chocolate, you know, milk chocolate is the least toxic, and then the dark chocolates are more. And it's,
Baker's chocolate is
pretty bad.
Pretty
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, and it's also kind of time dependent too, right? So if the best case scenario is if your new puppy, your new lab puppy, jumps up on the counter and eats a whole plate of brownies, and you see it happen, mm-hmm. you know, we can induce vomiting, we can give activated charcoal, we can do a lot of things to really avoid that huge toxicity. But it's the problem when you
don't
go
realize.
Out, right? You go out for a party and you get home 6 hours later, and all you see is the end result, and then we end up with some problems. So. Mm.
Okay. So chocolate, xylitol, grapes and raisins are issues too?
Yeah. Those are a newer problem too. And the thing is that some dogs can eat a whole, you know, bowl of grapes and not have a problem. And some dogs will eat one raisin and go into kidney failure. And we don't really know why that happens. Mm. So we err on the side of caution with every dog that eats grapes and raisins. So not just this time of year, I'm always encouraging, especially parents who have young kids, it's not a good idea to be having grapes and raisins on a high chair where kids are just dropping left and right.
So, okay.
You know, can be a huge problem. So those should be really out of the house or when you have kids that are old enough to control them a little bit better.
Hmm. Candles. Go back to things like that. Candles are, for obvious reasons, a
right.
huge issue. I imagine, especially with cats who are jumping around.
Huge.
On...
Yep. So huge reason. Also, like the liquid potpourri that's burning can be a toxicity. Also, not just from the burning perspective, but also from ingestion. And then a newer finding that we're seeing are those snow globes, the liquid snow globes.
Yeah.
They actually have antifreeze in them.
Really?
Which... doesn't seem very smart, but they do. So,
well, you assume they're not going to get broken. But
right,
anybody who's had a small child or pet
yes,
knows that those can be very dangerous.
They do. And ingestion of antifreeze, as most of us know, as pet owners, can be very toxic to the kidneys and can cause irreversible kidney failure and death. Mm. So keeping those, again, up high or with kids that are older and... can keep them safer. So, you know, we don't want to go through all of these and kind of be Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Then, gosh, look at your holiday weekend. Woo. But at the same time, I think it's wise to keep your eyes open so that you can enjoy the holiday without
yeah.
a visit to the
well,
to the
that's the biggest
emergency
downer, right?
Room, right?
That's the biggest downer is you
yeah.
spend a whole day at the clinic with your dog in terrible distress or your cat. And
right.
something that could have been avoided.
Exactly.
Speaking of stress, that's another big deal. We were talking about all the visitors that come by And there are a lot of issues that pets face if they're not used to that hustle and bustle or strange people coming over.
Right.
Talking about how do we try to keep our pets from not being overstressed when everything in their world is suddenly very different for 2 weeks.
Right. So every pet parent, I feel like, knows their dog or cat the best, right? I mean, I'm their advocate when they see me and when we talk on the phone. But when you're at home, you know them best. And dogs and cats, just like kids, thrive on routine. So if your dog or cat already has some anxiety issues, and we've usually talked about those, and they have noise phobia, or they are not great with you traveling, or they don't do well with house guests, the best thing is to try to avoid that. So if you can keep them kenneled in a different room, or, you know, keeping their schedule to almost the same schedule that they're used to, so taking them out at the same time, feeding them at the same time, trying to avoid, you know, new treats that people might bring out of the goodness of their hearts, but are going to give your dog stress diarrhea, you know, trying to keep those things the same. And then also, you know, trying to encourage people that are coming over. If you know that your dog is reactive and doesn't like new people coming over and jabbing their hand in their face, you know, which happens, and there's bites this time of year too. Just trying to let people aware, you know, let them be aware, you know, that let my dog come to you, or, you know, my dog does better if, you know, we kind of leave him alone and let him adjust.
Yeah.
And just being respectful of their needs, too, because it's a lot, especially if you're hosting a huge holiday gathering and there's going to be a lot of noise, and the times are different, and, you know, they're definitely not used to that.
There's some products you can use, too. I know that your clinic, we'll get into this after the news, is a big fear-free clinic. That's
absolutely
a big movement in the veterinary industry. And there's some products like Adaptil and Feel-Away, which are pheromone products that try to help pets calm down.
Right. So dogs and cats have a little organ at the roof of their mouth that senses different types of hormones that are only emitted from dogs and cats. And one of them is a stress-relieving hormone that's captured in these products. So Feel-Away for cats, Adaptil for dogs, there's diffusers and there's wipes and all types of forms of these. But if you have a diffuser in your home, it disperses this pheromone, like kind of like a Glade plug-in, for about a month. And it emits this constant relaxation. I want to say it's similar to aromatherapy, but not the same. But the end result would be the same. And so cats and dogs can relax that way. And we have that all over our practice, and it really does help. And we combine that a lot of times with thunder shirts, which a lot of people are aware of now, kind of that snuggling, pressure relieving coat, which was used predominantly, as the name implies, for rainstorm and thunderstorms. But we now know for any type of noise or anxiety, it really does help. And also, just again, keeping your pet on routine. So if your dog really loves and needs that hour walk in the morning at the beach, try to do it as much as you can so that they can stick to what they know.
You can find more tips for de-stressing your pets at the holidays at happypetholidays.com, happypetholidays.com. Dr. Natalie Marks is here from Blum Animal Hospital over at Belmont and Clark in Wrigleyville. Blumvet.com is their website. We'll talk a little bit more about ways to keep your pets safe over the holidays and other helpful tips for them when it comes to diseases that are going around. You were telling me off the air there's something in the news about an avian flu that a human has caught because of a cat. I want to find out about that. And Nikki Allen from Knife and Time is Knife and Tine is dropping by to give us some tips for making holiday drinks. So we're going to get festive in the next half hour after we check the news, which is next. Dr. Natalie Marks is sitting here. Blumvet.com is the website. Somebody texted earlier that we didn't talk about onions, that onions are dangerous for dogs. Is that true?
They can be. Again, kind of like what we've been talking about, it's sort of dose dependent, like how much they get. Mm-hmm. And they can cause anemias, and they can be pretty serious, but it's probably not one of our top three toxins.
There's a lot been in the last year. I work with Steve Dale. Steve Dale on every Sunday morning here at 6:30 a.m. on WGN Radio. And Steve talked a lot in the last year about canine influenza.
Right.
And that was a big deal here in Chicago in the last year. What's the latest with what they call CIV?
Well, CIV is still around. And there's two strains of it in dogs that we know of, H3N8, which was what we had historically here, and the more recent H3N2. But what's really been in the news as of late this week is there is an outbreak in a New York City shelter in cats of an avian flu. It's H7N2 that went to cats. And actually, in the last day or two, I think it actually was just today, one of the veterinarians that works at that shelter actually developed the same flu. So that's a huge deal for us, because not only, is that a work hazard, obviously, yeah, for all of us in the profession, but also for pet owners. And because, as we know of generally about what flu does, it has the ability to cross species. And that's always been a concern for us with canine influenza. There has not been a documented case going to humans with the dog version, but now we have a documentation of the cat version going into a human. So there's going to be a lot more, I think, coming out about that. And certainly everyone's going to be very on top of documenting these cases and really getting the right testing out there.
I know in the dog version that there's vaccines available for both strains and a combo vaccine.
Which just came out, right?
Which just came out. But mm-hmm. in the cat version, there's no vaccine as
no
of right
vaccine.
Now?
No vaccine.
Is it mm-hmm. very common? Is it running rampant? The CIV really ran rampant
right.
last year.
Right. I mean, the cat version is thankfully at this point quite rare, but H7N2, which is this new strain, was not here before. Mm. So just like H3N2, the new strain we had during the Chicago outbreak was the first time it had ever been documented on U.S. soil. So the thing, again, with flu is flu strains can change. They can morph. They can go into different species. Like we talked about a lot last year, flu can travel. So if people traveling with their pets from foreign countries or going to foreign countries or coming in cargo, I mean, it's, you know, we aren't really separated by oceans anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
we're sort of everybody's a global community. So we have to keep a strong eye on it. And, you know, veterinarians are also public health officers. So we're responsible for the health of pets, but also for the humans that care for them. So it's a big deal and we'll be watching it closely.
With the canine influenza virus, there was a real issue. If you have a social dog, if your dog goes to a kennel, if they go to the park, if they're traveling, in all sorts of ways that the dogs can spread it to one another. Cats generally are less social. We're not taking them to the park, or a lot of times they stay a little more in the house.
Right.
Is there a little bit of a feeling of this is less likely at least to spread as violently because cats are a little less social in general in how we keep them?
I mean, I think that theory's very reasonable. This is in a shelter situation, so unfortunately there are a lot of communal
right.
patients in this shelter or in many shelters. But the thing is that humans can act as fomites. I mean, we can have flu on us, bring it home to
spread it.
Our pets or to other places. And as we know, the general consensus is vaccination for humans, right, again, for flu season, because it is such a contagious disease.
Right.
And it's getting to be that way in our world, too. So, I don't know more about this, human exposure and now, unfortunately, confirmed case other than what we've said. And there has not been a confirmed case from dogs to humans, but we're going to be watching it carefully, and it's definitely something you should be talking to your veterinarian about.
Is the cat version very dangerous for the cats? There's no vaccination, but what's treatment like?
Well, it's supportive care because
okay.
it's a virus, so similar to dogs. But
so in general, it's not likely to be lethal. It can be.
We don't know. This is a new strain.
Okay.
Right? So just like the H3N2, unfortunately, it was so new, and our population here was called naive. They had never seen it before. So anytime there's something new that the body is not prepared to fight, there's always the risk, unfortunately, of having it be more than we thought it would be. And the H3N2 in dogs, which was much more virulent, much more disease-causing than the H3N8, and we did, unfortunately, have fatalities. So I think it's too soon to speculate what's going to happen with cats, and hopefully this is an isolated incident. But the thing is that it did happen, so we know it can happen. And flu, everyone should, you know, in all species, we should really keep flu on the forefront.
You mentioned talking to your veterinarian, and Steve Dale talks about this all the time. People don't see the veterinarian enough. When we talk about this, the vaccination that's available for the canine influenza virus, that's not just one shot. You need a booster shot like 6 weeks later, right?
So 3 to 4 weeks.
So it's important that you're not just, oh, we're leaving town tomorrow, let's go get this done. It's important to have a good rapport with your veterinarian and see them a little more than just every time something goes wrong, right?
Right. I mean, we're huge about preventive medicine. We want to be proactive, not reactive. And that's the best way you can take care of yourself and definitely the best way you can take care of your pets. And I think the thing is that especially with cats are very, very good at hiding signs and hiding how they feel. So if your cat is acting ill, they're ill.
Right.
And it takes a lot more effort, a lot more usually money, a lot more time to get that cat better. And sometimes it's not possible. So it's very important for us to encourage wellness care. important to see your veterinarian, you know, at minimum once a year for their annual exam. As they get older, we recommend twice a year annual exams, and just to have a good trusting relationship with your veterinarian so you can discuss these kind of things.
And you mentioned if your cat's acting ill, they're ill, and they're not that subtle. Cats like to protect themselves not show signs. So anytime there's a real change in behavior, you probably want to talk to your veterinarian because it could be something that you're not going to realize for a long time, right?
Absolutely.
Dr. Natalie Marks from Blum Animal Hospital, blumvet.com. The airing of grievances is coming up after the news. You're more than welcome to stick around and air your grievances, unless they're about me, because I'm in control of this. We'll get the news next on 720 WGN.